Hi, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. Bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. And it's an amazing day. Here's what started our thought for today. A couple of things kind of coincided. Coincidence. 1948. Let's go back to 1948 for a minute. According to the Oxford English Dictionary, the first time the word transistor appeared in print was in the New York Times in July 1st, 1948. The unsigned article opened with a report of two new radio shows that used transistors. A device called a transistor, which has several applications in radio, where a vacuum tube ordinarily is employed, was demonstrated for the first time, 1948. Then there followed technically accurate descriptions of the gadget, a small metal cylinder consisting of two wires connected to a tiny piece of semiconductive material soldered to a metal base about the size of two packs of cigarettes, which is the way it was described. This was called a transistor. The transistor radio, it was going to lead to tubeless radio eventually.
Still only one speaker.
Tubeless radio. Hey, this is Armand DeMille. I'll be right back with you. We have a little technical difficulty. Amazing. Just as we talk about that, we have a technical difficulty, which is just great. And this is it. I mean, this is exactly the thing, because if you think about what we're doing here, we've gone from transistors to tubeless radio to ISDN to broadcasting from a studio going to the Empire State Building antenna, right? Shooting out into space and coming back down somewhere in Wall Street and then being sent out to you. And wherever you're listening to this, which may be in China right now, it's amazing. Well, today we got a little difficulty with our broadcast, so it's going to be monaural as opposed to bitoral stereo. But this goes back to the transistor. And why am I talking about transistors today? I'm talking about transistors because that was the big deal in 1948, and some people looked at it and they said, boy, there goes the neighborhood. You got transistors. You're going to take out tubes. Quality's never going to be the same. It's all going to be miserable. Well, that goes along. So that's the first item of interest. Then I get a call from my good friend Jana, who said that the school auctioned you off again. And here's the auction that they have once a year. Once a year, it is auctioned that a student of the school will be given the gift of being able to come in and sit in during a radio broadcast. And that student is Claire Fuhr, who's with me right now. Her parents won this auction. I was auctioned off, or we were auctioned off, or WBAI was auctioned off, and the school gets the benefit. Claire, welcome to WBAI. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Exciting, isn't it?
Yes, very.
All right. Claire is, what age are you, Claire?
I'm 17.
17. And what level of schooling?
I'm an incoming senior.
Okay. Well, as if that's good, I had to bring on my senior authority, the elder folk, Stephanie Dombra.
There's a lot of seniors in this room,
actually. A lot of seniors in this room right now. Right, we're all seniors.
We're all seniors.
Great. also in the room with us. So here we got, we started this idea. I start off with transistors, and then we get the graces of a broken radio, and then we get the graces of Claire being in here with us, who was just going to sit by, but I said, wait a minute. I can learn from Claire. And that's the beauty of being a grown-up, an adult. You could learn from everything new that's coming in, just as they learn from you. But we could keep learning and learning and learning. But learning has changed. There's a new vocabulary to learning. Let me give it to you. Let me tell you about it. We're talking about MySpace, Flickr, Hulu, GPS, iPhones, the web, the internet, podcasts, Twitter, applications, the Honesty Box. Would you, when do you hear about the Honesty Box? YouTube, and so much more. I invited my cousin, good cousin Julian Giuello, who happens to know a lot about computers. Julian, welcome to BAI also.
Hello.
Hi there. Thanks for being here. Julian knows a lot about computers, and he knows a lot about applications, and this is what I want to learn about today. I want to learn. I want to try to share this information with you. Now, Stephanie has an opinion. Being a mother of two teenagers, Stephanie thinks, you know, these kids are going to lose something if they just follow this path of technology. Right, Steph?
Somewhat, Armand, somewhat. I say that there's a world out there that's brought to our fingertips, and I appreciate it, and I use it too. But in everything, we have to have a balance. So I believe that understanding when to use things, how much you should use things, not to use them compulsively. Always the therapist. That's where I come from.
Always the mother, too.
Yes.
Always the mother, too, because, you know, this is the way it was in my generation. When I was a kid, the older people were saying, you watch out with those newfangled cars you have. They have too much power. You watch out when you with the money you have, because remember the Depression. I always had somebody warning me when I was younger. So when older people see new things, part of what happens is they can't embrace it. Their mind doesn't move fast enough to embrace the new technology. And therefore, they kind of look at it and say, this can't be good for you because you're not eating your spinach. Now, I'm not saying that that's what you're doing, Stephanie. But I think we have this question. Are the youthful minds going bad? Well, I don't know. Let me ask a couple of people. Julian, you have just about access to every application you want, don't you?
Yeah.
And what do you tell me? Just describe to us what you have that you carry around in your pocket.
Okay, so on my iPhone, I mean, I bet a lot of you have one too. I've got Facebook, Craigslist. I've got a huge amount of games. I've got my internet. I can go on Google. I can, if I wanted, I could go on Twitter. I can find, I mean, pretty much anything. I've been in so many conversations where I've just been, oh, well, this is right. No, this is right. Well, I'm going to look it up on Google, and then we'll see who's right. So, I mean, usually I can just find up anything I want on my Google.
Yeah. So you can find anything you want whenever you want it. Here's a question for you, though. The more applications come out, the more information, the newest technology, do you say, oh, this is too much, I gotta stop doing it?
No, not at all, because with all the new technologies there are, there's definitely, like, I don't find any, I find a lot of benefits with the new technology, because GPS, you know, I can go outside. I got to this radio station with using my Google Map, and I mean, I can find a subway map on my iPhone with a new application, or I can look up my friend that I haven't seen in a while on Facebook and see how they've turned out. So I accept all this technology.
All right. Now, there seems to be no downside. Claire, let me ask you about you. Are you as much of a tech head as he is?
Not so much. I have an iPod Touch, but I have some applications, but not as many as he does.
Okay. Well, how do you feel about the technology? How do you feel about it?
Specifically about the iPhone and those applications?
Well, I guess not. I want to get to something you said earlier about text messaging.
Yeah, well, before I said that text messaging, I just have constant communication with my friends, but it prevents me from seeing them from face to face. And I also think that goes for Facebook as well. Yeah.
So there's less contact with friends?
Definitely.
And you think if you didn't have it, there would be more contact?
Well, I think, I would continue to want to see them, but I would have to do it face to face. So yeah, there'd be a lot more contact.
Well, then here comes the question. Maybe the new technology is teaching us that we don't have to see anybody face-to-face anymore.
Yeah.
You know, maybe the only reason we ever had to see people face-to-face was to look at them and hear their voice. Now we can look at them and hear their voice without going to the technology. Maybe people-to-people contact is no longer necessary except for, you know, essential things. Maybe that's what it's teaching us. What do you think, Stephanie?
Well, it's interesting because I actually read a recent article about autism and Asperger's being ever so present in this day and age. And on some level, they're questioning whether or not this is an adaptation and not actually a disorder, because it fits with this new kind of sense that we don't have to connect physically, that there's a lot of people out there that stay inside and have anxiety and don't go out in the world, but they can communicate through all these means and never really have to have anxiety over
it. Do you think that Asperger's people have dominance over technology? I don't think so.
No, it's not about technology. But they've already been able to manage being in an inner world, and they don't have that same kind of connectedness. And so there was an idea that this is a kind of evolution, and all this technology might be supporting that kind of inward or isolated type of existence.
Well, there's a couple of, we talk about the problems of it, the possibility of the problems. You know, let's take a look at what's happening in Russia and China. You know, Russia and China both have said too much information. You guys are causing trouble because you get a bad idea and you talk to each other now. In the old days, you were so far apart, you couldn't talk to each other. I had you in the Hangzhou province, you know, and you were down in the Yangtze, and those two guys aren't going to talk to each other. Now you talk to each other like a 100th monkey syndrome, you know, and you start so much trouble. You start rebellions. So I, China, am going to say to you, no more internet, or I'm going to limit the internet.
Yeah, actually, they implemented recently on every computer in China an application that's built into the computer when you buy it, and it blocks a lot of websites that let you communicate outside of China.
Wow. You can block it. It's like Cuba during the Cuban Missile Crisis. Cuba did this. They said, no United States. We're just going to block all communication with the United States. They cut off TV and everything, and they said, we're going to survive. And they did pretty well for themselves as far as survival goes, keeping their value system, you know. China's saying, we don't want you contaminating. Well, I thought you said, Stephanie, that China was also objecting to communication in the country as well, which was leading to rebellion. Is that what you were also saying?
I think it's obviously both that's going on. They can't get information outside, from us, so to speak, the Western world. And clearly they have to keep it under wraps within the country.
This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind here on WBAI in New York. My guests are Claire Fuhr and Julian Giuello and Stephanie Dombra. We're talking about some of these new things that are going on there. Now, let me give you an example of some of them. Watch this, my friends. How many of you know about Honesty Box? How many of you know out there? And I'm sure not very many. Did you hear of the Honesty Box, Stephanie, before today?
No.
No, this is it. All right, Claire, tell us what the Honesty Box is.
Basically, it's an application on Facebook that you can add, and you can write things to your friends. They could be whatever you want to write.
Or enemies,
true that. And the person reads them and has no idea who has written them.
You get... Okay, so here's the idea. What's the origin of this?
Well, I'm not sure exactly where it started, but I just one day, you know, you go on and then there's this application that a few people had and everybody started getting it because it was this box that would appear on your profile and you could just write whatever you wanted in somebody's box. And people like actually getting these things, and sometimes they're bad and they talk to their friends about it and they gossip about it, but they're like, oh, who's this guy that likes me or whatever, you know, that sort of thing. And, you know, you can tell them whatever you want because it's anonymous. And it gave this people
completely security. Anonymous, and there's no way to bust it. Now, you could bust. I've seen you break through almost any code.
Yeah, know? No, I've tried before. It doesn't – I can't figure it out.
You can't get to the bottom of it. It's truly anonymous.
Yeah, from what I know.
And so, therefore, somebody could look at Julian and say, ah – here's a picture of Julian, by the way. All of you could look on Facebook, and you can see Julian Giuello right now. If you go in there, just put in G, spell your name, G.
G-I-U-L-L-I-A-N.
Yeah, that's Julian. You put him in, and you're going to see he's the top one coming up, Julian Giuello, and you look at his Facebook, and you can't see very much because he's got to let you in. Right, Julian?
Yeah,
there's certain public information.
Settings. Yeah.
And then there are privacy settings.
Yeah.
Could we just back up for the sure. audience listeners who really actually don't frequent these websites? I don't sure. want to insult anyone, but I don't frequent them, and I think there are people out there. So could we just talk about what Facebook is and
what
people
is Facebook?
Do on Facebook?
Good, good.
Well, it is a social networking website. I'm sure everybody's heard of it, at least. And
yes.
There's like millions and millions of users, and it's constantly growing. And it's a place where people can put up like pictures, videos of themselves or their friends, and you add your friends from school or from older people, you know, jobs or whatever, and you can pretty much you can talk to them, you can write comment on their photos or see what they're doing because there's an update on your homepage that shows all your friends and what they're doing and what they're updating constantly.
What they're doing, you mean what they're doing today?
Yeah, so let's say like...
Today I walked to the store?
Yeah, for example, I mean, I don't know if everybody does that, but they, before they go outside, they'll be like, oh, hey, going to the zoo with this person, this person, this person. And then somebody can comment, oh, yeah, I'm going to the zoo too. Or, oh, yeah, I went there last week. And it's like they all know. They're all aware of the fact that this person went to the zoo because they put it out in their status on Facebook, and it broadcast to all their friends.
And you really love Facebook, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I pretty much everybody my age, I'm pretty sure, just checks it every day. It's like, you know, during the summer, I'm out of school. Yeah, this is kind of how, like, I see what's going on with my friends, you know. I can go on Facebook and see how my friend is doing or what party they're going to or whatever.
How many friends do you have, Julian?
700, but they're not all people that I talk to every day, but they're like people from like elementary school or people that I ran into randomly, and then they added me because they recognized me on there.
Well, I mean, now get this one, Stephanie, right? I was trying to look the other day. I grew up on the Lower East Side of Manhattan. Around a certain day, and I was looking for some of the names of people that I knew, and I could never find any of them. I've got to go do another search with Facebook because I could never find them. I could never find them. I searched everywhere, classmates. Just can't find them. Of course, and so, you know, it's as if they didn't exist, or it's as if there was a rule that if you were born on the Lower East Side when I was born, you're not allowed to go on Facebook. Maybe there's some kind of rule because they're not there. But you're saying you could find people that you knew in nursery school.
Yeah, oh, my dad has met like all of his friends back from when he was like 9 or 8, like back in the Bronx. It's like he found all of them, he's talking to them, and he's meeting up with them. And it's like, it's a great way to find people that maybe you wouldn't have found otherwise.
Would everybody be on Facebook? I mean, I know I'm on Facebook, but Stephanie, you're not on Facebook.
I am, but everybody. I do nothing with it. But I know people that aren't, and it's probably not as prevalent in our generation and older. I'm just going to say, I know there's people that do it, but compared to the younger people, teens, 20s.
So since I do it, I'm part of the younger generation. And since you don't do it, you're part of the older generation.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, well, it's obvious. Okay. But let's go to that for a second. In this Facebook phenomena, there is something wonderful happening, which is the downside, like Claire says. You don't have as much contact.
Yeah.
The upside, you have many, many more contacts. So that's kind of strange. There's the downside and the upside. You have people you grew up with. Now, you don't know, Claire, that you went to school with people when you were 12 years old that have not disappeared. They're still around somewhere in your Facebook.
Yeah.
And to you, you take that for granted.
Well, I mean, I think that it's great to have communication with people that you might not have had if you didn't have Facebook. But I also think that a lot of people these days, users, are just sort of taking, I guess, advantage of Facebook because they spend their whole entire day on it. And it's become more than just a place, a website where you can keep in contact with people. It's becoming more like an outlet for like spending your day rather than going out and doing something else.
Well, now there's a real important issue.
When people start using it as a verb, you know they're obsessed.
What do you mean? I'm Facebooking?
Yeah, that's so many people say that.
Well, now, what about that point, Julian? Claire says, yeah, but you know, you spend so much time on it that you begin losing contact. Do you feel that?
I don't know about losing contact. I feel like I just get in contact with people that I wouldn't have normally gotten in contact with. Like, I still hang out with my close friends in real life and, you know, my girlfriend. It's like, it's not like I have, like, an online relationship with either of those. But I get to talk to people or get in touch with people that I haven't talked to in a while. And maybe even, like, end up meeting them, like, setting up in a, you know, a hangout in real life through the Facebook.
Okay, so Claire, let me understand what you think the downside of that is. Do you think it's some people use it obsessionally and that they just don't do anything but that? And other people, like Julian, he incorporates it in his life. He does his Facebook from the streets.
Yeah.
Right? Instead of doing it from his room.
I definitely think there are people there who are probably spending, let's say, 2 to 5 hours on Facebook,
yeah,
checking if someone has uploaded new pictures or if someone that they don't know has written on someone else's wall. Yeah.
Does your parents think that you're in danger of that?
Well, my dad is actually on Facebook. Haven't added him.
Yeah.
But my mom definitely thinks that I spend way too much time on Facebook, which I have to agree with her.
You think you do?
I definitely think I do.
But it's like an addiction, right?
It's
hard to get.
Definitely is an addiction.
Tell me about it. Tell me, like, what's it like? Is it like a hunger?
I don't know. I mean, it's sort of like you just go online and then you're like, oh, what should I do now? And I'm like, okay, I'm gonna just like check Facebook for like 2 seconds. And then you go on and then you see someone has uploaded new photos, so you check all those photos. And you're like, okay, I'm going off. And then 2 seconds later, you're just like back on. It's really hard to get off. It's really addicting.
What does it feel like?
To get off or
like
to,
no,
go on?
No, what does it feel like to be on it? Do you feel, here's the question I'm asking.
Okay.
Do you feel connected when you're on it and like alone when you're not on it?
What's
the difference?
Really, I mean, when I'm on it, I just feel, I guess more connected. And especially when there are a lot of people online, because now you can see how many people are online and if you can contact them or not. But when I'm not on it, I don't know. I don't actually feel a need, a hunger to go on like every second now that I used to. But when I'm off it, it's just like, I don't know, I feel liberated in some ways.
In some way you feel liberated.
Yeah.
Do you think they'll ever see one of these pictures, Stephanie, where somebody takes all of their iPhones and their computers and they throw them in the river? Like, you know, somebody gets fed up with everything and says, I'm getting rid of it. You know, it's got to happen.
That's
like
a lot
someone's
of money.
Done that before.
Sometimes I might lead that pack.
You might lead the pack, right? Because what I remember was people with keys. We used to walk around. We had so many keys. I had keys to my job, keys to my house, keys to my office, keys to keys, keys. So many keys. And one day I went down the river and I looked in the river. And I was like 22 years old and I threw my whole key ring in the river, and I felt so liberated to get rid of my keys. You know what I mean? I could imagine doing it with electronics as well, but I think there's some room to go. On the upside, new social contact. There are some people who are agoraphobic, who through Match.com, we haven't talked about dating services.
Yeah, I don't think
my
we can
mom
use
is on.
Right, what about it? What about it?
On
you
Match?
Can't use that? What do you
well,
mean?
Well, yeah, we're not old enough.
Yeah, you have to be 18, I think.
Yeah.
Don't use it anyway.
No.
Julian.
No,
Julian. They don't need it, Armand.
They don't need it.
They don't need it. No, but I'm thinking about Julian, who has never kept a rule in his life.
What?
No, I mean, if it's a challenge, you challenge it. I know you. You know, you say, oh, you're not allowed to use it till you're 18, so I'll use it and just see what it's like. But on the good side of it, it does help people who are lonely.
It does.
You know, and how does your mom feel about it?
On Match.com?
Yeah.
Well, she's just a recent user, so she doesn't actually have a photo up yet. She's sort of busy, but she definitely wants to pursue it, and she thinks it's a great idea.
Now, the downside of this
yes.
is something you talked about, Stephanie, bullying.
Well, I think that when you're out there on all these websites and people accept, let's say, the process with Facebook, for instance, kids love to get friend requests. So they accept it as soon as they get this email, I guess. It comes either through your email program or
on
Facebook.
Facebook.
Yeah.
Somebody requested you to be their friend. So they just click it automatically. And what I have found with my daughter and her peer group, which, you know, middle school kids, they're sensitive. So if you put what you're doing that day with a group of kids, everybody knows about that activity. And then they call up and say, what are you guys doing? Why didn't you invite me? So all the things that have always been around in this peer group issue of feeling accepted and included, I think just winds up being exaggerated and possibly more of a problem. Because, you know, years ago, people just had a landline phone. A whole entire family had to deal with one phone, and you had to speak to the friend, and then your parents would say, get off the phone, and that was it. You could make your plans and be out and do your things and be with plenty of kids, even back then. Now, everybody knows what everybody's doing, and if you're not solid in able to set your boundaries, which I've seen with different kids, it can be a problem.
Or it could be a blessing. The blessing could be that you say, I don't need privacy. I'm doing nothing I'm ashamed of. Go ahead, look at me. Look at my life. Look at the inside of me. Go ahead, examine me. How could I go wrong?
Hey, but you know one also thing with Facebook, a lot of people, they call it kind of like, you know, you see a picture of somebody, and they took that picture so perfectly so they look the best they could possibly be in that picture, but they really don't look like that in person. And a lot of the time, people also treat Facebook like it's, you know, it's like, it's kind of like this perfect version of you on, mm-hmm. on this profile. So it's like, you know, people don't put their profile picture like this ugly picture. They'll delete that and they'll put up their favorite one
That's
of
true.
Themselves. And so, like, they go up there and they look for, they search for, like, good comments. Like, oh, like, nice picture. Yeah, you look pretty in this one. And it's like, I don't know, like, the realism of actually seeing this person is lost. In that sense.
Well, that may be true all over the internet. You know, that may be a part of what we're going to have to deal with.
Like, same with Match.com, too.
Like, you may be more available, but you may have to disguise yourself a little better. And so if you have the appropriate disguise, like the wrong photograph of yourself or the wrong... I know people who have carried on relationships with completely false people. You know, it could be a man disguised as a woman. It could be any number of things. That there's a lot to it, but you have ways to get around it because you don't have to bet the house on any one contact. You realize that nowadays. We're going to have to take a short break. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Very, very exciting stuff. We're going to go further in detail about this with to the deeper emotions of this. My guests are Claire and Julian and Stephanie, and we're going to take a short break. It's WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial in New York City. How about a little music for you? How about just something to get you bopping?
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much. Just new to
Gnarls Barkley from the Saint Elsewhere album. That's crazy. Hey, this is Armand DeBille with you at The Positive Mind, just to show you what this is like. Now, as I said to you before, Julian is my cousin. It's a beautiful thing. He's a wonderful man. And Claire gets to me by winning me in a lottery.
Yeah.
And Stephanie gets to me by default. Anyway, here we are in this room, and here we are doing this thing together. And as we are talking on the radio, just as we're talking while we do our break, this amazing thing. And it sounds common to you, Julian, but talk about what happened.
Got a text from my girlfriend. She's listening to the show, and she was glad that we didn't have an online relationship.
Yeah, right. So Jackie, your girlfriend, yeah, who's a wonderful human being who, yes, I met, right, is texts you.
Yeah.
A message. So you can pick up your phone and you can get a message while you're
in the
studio.
It's the silent, you know, conversation. So, like, you're in the movie and you can get a text because you don't have to interrupt the movie. It's just silent.
It's the silent conversation. Those are big words. Those are very big words, the silent conversation. You know, never thought about it before that we would ever have a need for silent conversation. It used to be facial gestures.
Body,
you know,
language.
It used to be attitudes and body language. There's a silent language. Over the years, many of us who have resisted this, we who of the older years have resisted this on so many levels, keep swearing that it's going to give you cancer of the brain, right? We said that. We did. There are articles about that saying, oh, you're going to burn your ears out. But they always warn you. You know, the adults always warn you about everything. So you never know what to believe. I mean, you know, I'm surprised, you know, people stop smoking because you would never stop smoking if it was only the adults warning you not to stop smoking. But now let's talk about some of this other thing. I think, my friends, what I'm saying to you is we adults would benefit ourselves by not being afraid of the new technology, by not judging the new technology, by embracing it with some kind of wonder, and then choosing or not choosing it. So the question would be, how would you get exposed to it? What would you do? Would you go to what would you think it would be the best way? If you had to show people what you're talking about, do you take them to an iTunes store and put them on the apps counter and say, take a look at this?
Well, for example, with my dad, he got a Facebook because he saw me and my sister had it. And he was like, oh, that's cool. Like, you're meeting your old friends. And it's like, oh, I want to meet my old friends. And so he just like, he was like, how do I make one? I walked him through it. And then he got on it. And now he's using it all the time. You know, he's talking to his old friends. He's, you know, using applications, everything like that.
How does it feel to communicate with your father about Facebook? You know, I mean, you've crossed a generation. You're like two brothers doing this together, right?
Yeah, I mean, we play games on Facebook together, and we talk to each other. If I need to contact him, sometimes I can contact him through that. I mean, text, phone, Facebook, that's how I contact him. I mean, he's learning a lot about it, too, while I am still, you know, there's a lot to it. I think that's it's a really cool thing for him to use it.
What do you feel about that, Claire? Do you feel about connecting with your family through it? Do you teach your family about it?
Not really. Well, my dad has Facebook, but I don't know. I'm sort of turned off by the whole entire idea of my father having Facebook. I mean, I'm not his friend. But I think that there's a lot of things that Facebook allows you to do that I think sometimes you don't really want your parents to see. I mean, a lot of people I know put up photos of them at a party that they wouldn't necessarily want their parents to see and notice. So it sort of makes me uncomfortable to think that if there is a way for my father to hack into my Facebook or whatever, he would see like content that I wouldn't maybe want him to see.
All right, so there is some privacy that you,
yeah,
have. That you wouldn't have with your friends, but you would want to have with your parents.
Right.
I see. There's a thing, a level of of exposure with each other. There's a level of places where you want to have a certain amount of privacy. I'm sure. Let's talk about. I want to go back to the honesty box for a minute. In the honesty box, you could ask a question. Do you think I look fat in this skirt? Right? And then people will give you back honest answers. Right?
Yes. Yeah.
And it's there's a beautiful thing about that. Because you're getting honest answers, or you may just get people who are trying to hurt you.
Yep.
Is that what you... So what do you do when you get the information back?
Well, I mean, some people, when they're confident about something, like let's say they have like a... Like, what do you think of my profile picture? If they really like it, then they'll put it up there because they want people to tell them that they look really great and they like them or something like that. But then they also get bad comments also. You know, it's not... It's both sides, negative and positive.
Among the many, many things you could get, applications you could get, let's talk about some of these. What are the newest one you were talking about? What kind of reality?
Oh, well, on iPhone, you can get something
augmented
called,
reality.
Yeah,
what is augmented reality?
Well, in the next patch of the iPhone software, they're going to allow it so you can use the camera and point it at something in real life, and it'll actually create things on the screen that aren't there in real life, but it's there on the screen, so you can... For example, there's a Subway application for the iPhone that will be it's developed and they're going to release it soon, and it literally you'll take your camera and you look around and using the GPS and the camera it shows where the Subway is from where you are, and it'll have arrows, it'll literally put arrows on the ground on the sidewalk using your camera, and you look through that viewfinder and you'll see these things that don't exist in real life but they create them on the phone and they're helpful.
So you could do that. Now, you were also telling me something about facial recognition.
And there's also a scary, much scarier one that's also augmented reality. You can point your iPhone at somebody's face, and it literally takes their face and recognizes it. It searches through all the different, you know, Facebook, Twitter, MySpace, all that stuff, and it looks for their face. And then it finds all that and puts it around their face. You can click each one, and you can, like, you know, you see that person on the street. If you get a detailed enough picture, you can just click their little Facebook icon next to their face and just go to their Facebook.
That's like the thing they have in the casinos in Las Vegas. You know, in Vegas, when somebody walks in, if he's got an unusual win or there's something unusual about him, they do facial recognition technology, which is you just take his picture and you look at it, and then they tell you who he is and where he comes from, and they identify it according to everything that's happened with casinos. But you're saying, because of Facebook, because of Twitter, because of all these other things, almost every human has got a photograph of them somewhere. Now, can we go even further than that? I've heard that you could actually get family just from certain parts of the face, facial characteristics.
I don't doubt it, but I've never heard of it personally.
And still, you could also find out where your keys are. That's easy. If you lose your car keys, you could tell where your cell phone is. How do you tell where your cell phone is?
Well, actually, my dad has an application for his car. It copies down where his car is on the map, and then he can go outside, and if he doesn't remember where it's parked, he can just press the thing, and it'll show him on the map.
Is there something in the car that helps him do that?
No, he plots it right when he leaves the car on his phone.
He plots it on the phone, and then he has a way to find it back.
Yeah.
You could do security checks. You could do they even have one website that tells you where you can get medical marijuana if necessary. They have a whole website for that. They have another website for sex in the vicinity, where in your immediate vicinity you could find a sexual partner. Then they do your vital signs. They could have cardio check. You could do critical care. You could do your heart rate. By putting your hand on the phone and holding it in certain places, you could get your heart rate and you could get your pulse ox. You could get, and there's another one which is kind of amazing, which has to do with music. Do you ever hear a tune playing and you say, what's that tune?
Oh, yeah, they have it on phones, too.
Yeah, those are actually iPhone applications.
And what
you're
is
talking
it?
About? And there's one called Shazam, and they also have one called Midori, I think. And I've actually done it before. Somebody was in a restaurant that I was at, and they were like, "Oh, what's that song?" I was like, "No, it's by this person. No, it's by this one." And I was like, "Oh, hold on a second." I put my phone up to the ceiling to the speaker, and I actually got what the song was, and I told them what it was. It was pretty funny.
That's right, amazing stuff. Well, so here's the question. What are you going to do? Let me tell you what Stephanie Dombra does. Now I'm not going to embarrass you.
It's all right.
But what do you do with your kids? What do you tell them at night with the computers? What's your deal? I mean, you know, you're pretty smart. You're one of the smartest women I know. One of the smartest people I know, Stephanie.
Thank you.
And I have great respect for what you do with your children. What do you do? You won't let them get into this, will you?
No, I don't fight the tide. And again, I totally utilize it. I'm the one that brings the laptops in the house. I mean, I am embracing it. And like you said, I learn all the stuff and then I choose. So with my kids, yes, they have Facebooks. My son has 450 kids on his Facebook. I have no idea where they've come from. I can't even imagine this. But okay, they know during the school year, I let them have it in the summer. During the school year, phones, cell phones, and computers are out of the bedroom. They have to sleep at night. They could spend hours and hours up there in their rooms and just isolate. I feel like I just am so aware of these things that I make sure that they have all their other activities.
Would you take television out of the room, too?
Well, my son absolutely never watches TV.
Yeah,
and
I
bet you never
watch
TV either, Julian. I'm sure.
Little.
It's just not. My daughter does, but she also has her iPod Touch. She fights me because she does all the work and gets the money and buys it herself. But I have to limit it.
Let me go back a minute here. You said something important. Julian, you don't watch television.
Well, over the summer, I've had a lot of free time, so I've been watching it. But over the school year, I rarely do. At least on television, I usually watch it on the computer, if anything.
So you don't have much interest in TV itself.
Well,
it's like an old technology, isn't it?
Well, I don't use my actual television set anymore. That's the thing. I mean, I have Netflix. You know, I can go and watch an instant. If I want to watch a series, I can watch it all at once for free. Well, the subscription on my computer, and it'll just stream right to my computer. I can watch it like television, put some headphones in, and it's great.
If you choose to do that.
Yeah.
But you have now taken television, which used to be this gimmick. Television is, we're going to throw you some entertainment, and we'll throw you entertainment, and in between this entertainment, we're going to sell you things. See? So we give you a little bit of a show, and then we're going to sell you this and sell you that and tell you this and get you cookies and tell you to buy this and buy that. You and your friends don't watch it. You only watch selective TV now.
Yeah, so when I watch a show online, I don't actually see any commercials or anything like that. It's just a show.
So TV advertising is dead.
Yeah, well, that's why all the networks are suffering. This day and age of this type of media, journalism, newspapers, magazines.
It's even the same thing with CDs. A lot of people aren't really buying CDs
that's
as much
right.
In the iTunes store. Yeah, you can just download music. It's compulsive buying almost because you can just double-click it and you spent $10 and you bought an album. And it's like, oh, I like that album. But, you know, it's not as much of like when you go out and select a CD, you try things out. Sure, you can listen to it a little, but people buy so much music and they just download it and nobody really has CDs anymore. As much, anyways.
Wow.
Yep. Right.
Well, some people also do illegal downloading as
yeah,
well.
BitTorrent,
LimeWire.
Like LimeWire. Yeah.
Like
so there is some that you could
but
actually...
we don't do that.
You could download...
Never.
You could download without having to pay for it,
yep.
Which many people do, and other people download and pay for it. But CDs are going out, too.
CDs are going out.
Wow. So there are no more CDs. Now, what about iPod? What about that? Do you do that?
Oh, yeah. Well, my phone is an iPhone, so I can use it as an iPod whenever I want.
So if you had friends, for example, Julian, if you took today's program...
if you had friends.
I'll introduce
he
you to
a few.
I have.
100.
I have a few I'll send over. If you took the program that we were doing today and you wanted to forward it to your friends, you could just put it on your Facebook.
I could post a link on Facebook or put it on YouTube or just send it to them over instant message. Yeah, pretty much any way.
And then anybody who wanted to hear you on radio could hear you.
Yeah, yeah. I actually put on my status before I left on Facebook. I was like, oh, I'm going to the radio show with my uncle.
That's great. You think you're going to do that, Claire?
Probably
you think you're
going to
post your radio show? Because you're a little more private, right?
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Okay, so we got two different kinds. Let me ask you something. There was one theory was that women text many more times than men do. Do you think this is true?
I don't know. I don't have a lot of, like, evidence. I mean, my friends text, but all of my friends text, males and females.
So do you think there's a big difference? Do you think, Julian, do you think there's a big difference between men who text and women who text?
I don't know. I mean, it's really simple with the iPhone because it's just like it's a keyboard right there. But, I mean, I text, like, the main people I text is, like, my girlfriend, my dad, and, like, a few of my friends if they want to meet up in real life. But never, like, really, like, I don't have, like, a full conversation with anybody unless, like, a lot of the time people text in class because you can't, you know, in school because you can't, you can't speak to us. There's no notes, so instead you just send them text messages.
Well, that's kind of a thing. I was wondering how teachers can control that. Is there any control? What do the teachers do?
They know the downward head. And
yes, they definitely know the downward
head. Texting.
They know you can't have your text on your computer kind of appearing when nobody's looking?
No, we don't really use computers in school.
Oh, you don't use computers?
I don't go to computer school either.
He's saying when his head is down and looking at his lap in the class, the teacher can see the student's
text. They know the posture.
It's no longer sleeping. They know they're texting.
They know the posture until you could get it on the inside of your eyeglasses, you know, and you could text on the inside of your glasses by tapping on your kneecaps. Then they'll have to get that one going. Because they think that you're not paying attention to them.
Yeah.
And what you're there for, which is true. And if they're boring compared to your texting, you'd rather do texting.
Exactly.
Yep.
Very difficult. You mentioned something further about the possible downside of it. What do you see? What do you see as the downside of this technology? Anything you think?
With texting, I don't know. I just spend a lot of my days, or even like when I'm bored. It's fine like keeping in contact, but with some people, you text all the time and like you see them the next day. It's really sort of unnecessary. And I even sometimes have my phone like right near me, like with my eyes just like watching it, waiting for it like to vibrate and like, oh, I have a new text message from someone I just saw yesterday. It really, I guess in a way it's okay because it bridges a communication gap, but also it just takes away from calling them on the phone and having that verbal communication and that, you know, just instilling that verbal you just need to have some sort of verbal skill. And through texting, you're...
Claire, I have a question. This is a question. I'm going to ask you to step down just a moment.
Okay.
To a special place. Most of us have had times in our lives, most of us older than you have had times in our lives when we don't have anything to contact, and we have nobody to be in contact with, and there's nobody to call. And you might experience at that time a sense of loneliness. Have you ever felt lonely?
I guess sometimes, yeah.
But, have you? Do you actually remember it as a feeling?
Feeling lonely.
You're answering my question.
Yeah.
Right there. You're answering my question just by that curiosity. What about you, Julian?
Even incorporating like Facebook, like maybe I've been at home and I've been like on the computer and I'm like on Facebook or something, and then I see all these other people going to parties and going on vacation. I'm kind of just like, I'm like, wait, I'm sitting at home like on Facebook, like what am I doing? And I guess in that way it could
so
be,
there's
like,
a
lonely.
New loneliness. There's a loneliness by comparison, and not a loneliness just through isolation and lack of contact. The contact can elicit a new kind of loneliness.
Yeah.
Kind of fascinating. What were you going to say, Stephanie?
I was going to just comment on Claire and her comment about texting. The other couple months ago, my daughter needed to get in contact with one of her friends who didn't have a cell phone. I said, well, just call her up at her home. We could get it, get the number. She thought this was the most bizarre thing I could say. That you don't call a person. You certainly don't call a family phone, but you don't call. She has major conversations with texting, but not speaking. And my daughter is a very engageable child, but it just takes over. So I think the boys text for information and getting in touch, and the girls converse with the texting. So girls are still needing to stay in contact and have an emotional bond.
Yeah.
And it just shows up in how and what they're doing with their texting. It's just fascinating. But, you know, I just bring it all up all the time when I'm seeing my daughter and talking to her. And I just, you know, make a comment and she knows how I feel. But It's here. It's not going away. We got to deal with it.
I also think that, I mean, going back to the question where you asked me whether or not girls, if I saw that girls texted more, I think that girls probably do, maybe because they, like, they feel that need to always be talking to someone. But I also think that, especially with the technology, it's great, but also it's okay to be alone. I mean, it's okay to step back and just, I mean, you don't need to always be in constant communication with someone. It's like, in a way, it's also somewhat healthy.
See, well, there's the Buddhist way, and this is the kind of thing that we've kind of gotten completely away from. It's almost impossible to find true silence, you know? And maybe silence is dead. You know, maybe like God is dead, Nietzsche said, maybe silence is dead too. I don't know. I can't judge it one way or another. I still believe that silent mind gives you a lot of beauty and a lot of stuff, but who knows?
Okay.
Maybe it's just my old-fashioned ways. This is Armand DeMille. I want to my special thanks to, what's the name of the school?
ICE, Institute for Collaborative Education.
Institute for Collaborative Education. My special thanks to them for their support of WBAI and for our support of them, the mutual support through you, Claire.
Thank you.
Fuhrer, who has been wonderful here. And Julian, I want to thank you too, especially because you're such a wonderful part of my family.
Thank you.
You're a beautiful guy. Stephanie Dombra, just aren't you? Isn't this nice?
It's a lot of fun.
A lot of fun. Very exciting. Okay, my friends, we will be back with you. Listen, on Wednesday, tomorrow, we're going to hear about hallucinations in literature. I want to talk about that a little bit. And then on Thursday, we're going to talk about the migraine brain. If you know anybody who has migraines, have them tune in on Thursday. We're going to be doing some very special programming around that. If you want to get a copy of today's program, you can go to WBAI.org or to thepositivemind.com and download it. And be sent along with Julian and Claire's thousands of friends across the globe. Thanks for being here, friends.
Thank you.
Sure.